All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 52, verse 9. Psalm 52, verse 9. Psalm 52, verse 9 reads this way. It says, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together in your house as your church, as your body of believers. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. And, Lord, we ask that you would just open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to receive the truths, Lord, that you have given to us to look to tonight, and that, Lord, you might open up our hearts and minds to understand, and that we might truly walk in your will and your way, and that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and, Lord, lives drawn closer to you, beginning with ours, and then, Lord, the souls that need to be saved. We do pray unto you, the Lord of the harvest, for more laborers, Lord, into your fields, and that you would use us in a great and mighty way, that we might share the gospel and see souls saved. So bless your word, bless your people, build Northwood, Lord, and all your churches for your honor and glory and our blessing. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, I will praise thee forever. I will praise thee forever. Isn't that the truth? When we first got saved, we started praising the Lord, and we'll be praising him throughout eternity. And so tonight, the title of the message, of course, I'll praise thee forever, but we can also call it the place of forever praise, the place of forever praise. And so tonight we want to consider three truths that we have to trust in. Remember, we hear about this truth, then we believe the truth, but then we trust in the truth if God is going to bring us to the place of forever praise. Because there are times in our lives that you might not feel like praising the Lord, and then there are times in our lives when you really feel like praising the Lord. But God wants to bring us in his place to where we can forever praise the Lord. And so these three truths that we want to consider is the truth of believing completely in the continuing, everlasting goodness of God. The truth of believing completely in the continuing, everlasting goodness of God. God is good how often? All the time, he's good. Then number two, the truth of denying the devouring deception of self. The truth of denying the devouring deception of self. And then the last truth is going to be the truth of the special sight given to the righteous. The truth of the special sight given to the righteous. If you're here and you're redeemed, you are the righteousness of God. You've been given the righteousness of God. And so because of that, you've been given insight to the very fact and the very truth that there is eternal life. You didn't have that before you got saved. After you got saved, now you've got the insight, hey, there is a forever, isn't there? And there is a God that loves me, and I will see him face to face one day. And so many, many good things there. All right, so let's back up to verse 1. And let's look at the importance of believing completely in the continuing, everlasting goodness of God. Look at verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Listen, the goodness of God endureth how long? Enduring. Now, you see, you can hear that. You can even believe that. But will we trust in it? That's the real question. Now, it's easy to trust in it tonight. Amen? But the faith that God wants us to have is to trust it even when things don't make sense in our lives. See, that's the difference, right? We can, when everything's warm and fuzzy and cozy and all that, that we can believe it. But we need to believe it even when times get difficult, even when times get challenging, that we're not removed from our foundation. The foundation that we have is unmovable. And so it's not us, it's not our foundation that's moving. It might be us that might be shaking and quaking a little bit, but our foundation is sure. It's solid, never going to move because our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a little bit of a contrast here, and really the goodness of God is not intermittent, but it endures continually. See, we need to be careful that we don't say, oh, God's good to me now, and oh, it's not so good right now.
Oh, listen, we're not saying God's not good to me right now. We're just saying it, whatever it is, my time, this time in my life is not very good. But wait a minute, God is good how often? Isn't that something? God is good all the time. You mean to tell me that God is good even when we don't see it or understand it? God is still good. Just because the sun goes behind the clouds doesn't mean that we stop believing there's a sun out there somewhere. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for 50-degree weather. Woo! Heat wave. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I had to shed my coat. I started out with the coat earlier this morning, but boy, it got warm out there, didn't it? And we thank the Lord. Of course, when you're in the single digits, anything over 30 is warm. But anyway, we praise the Lord for that. But listen, God's goodness is not intermittent, but it endures continually. And we need to have, listen, the knowledge of that, we need to believe that, but then we must put our trust in the Lord, right? That's a decision we make. We trust that the Lord's goodness is always there, and it endures continually. Now, the next thought here in verses 2 through 5 is the truth of denying the devouring deception of self. We're going to look at some things here. We're going to consider the tongue, the heart, and then the heart and the tongue combined together. This is what the Lord wants us to see. So notice it says, thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Now, he is specifically talking about those who are boasting of themselves. He's not really talking about the child of God, or certainly not talking about the child of God in right fellowship with him, but these people that are proud. And by the way, listen, here's the unfortunate truth. I don't know really how unfortunate it is, but it's just the truth. We can become prideful. We can become boastful. And that would be an indicator to us. We have that. Listen, raise your hand if you're perfect. Not a hand should have gone up. Amen. Not a hand did go up. So nobody in this room is perfect. Do you mean to tell me you could go home and not be perfect? Absolutely. Right? So let's not deny that fact, but let's also remember the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has changed our lives. Amen? Not just our eternal destiny, but he has indwelt us with the Spirit that if we will put our faith or our trust in him to perform what he has promised, will he do it? He will do it, right? And so, listen, we have to get our eyes off of ourselves so that we're not saying, I can't do that, but we say, Lord, you can do this, right? And where do we want God to do it? We want him to do it in our lives. We definitely don't want the pride part, right? We definitely don't want this part. Notice verse 2, thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. And by the way, these people that get caught up in that deceive themselves, because God says, we're going to give an account for every word that we will speak. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So, hey, listen, may our tongue not work. Listen, we need to come clean and be honest before the Lord and ask him to fix the problems in our lives, right? Listen, if we don't talk to the Lord in repairing these things, we'll continue down the same path. And the worst part of it is we will think, I did say we, right? That means me too. We will think we're right. And we won't be right if we're walking in contradiction to the Word of God. So Lord, I need you, God. I need you to cause me to walk upright, to empower me to be honest with myself, and to say what you say is wrong, and to say what you say is right. I need the Lord for that. We need the Lord for that. How often do we need the Lord for that? Always. This is the way of revival. Listen, he says, if my people, right, will humble themselves and pray, and listen, call upon the Lord to make that which is weak and feeble strong again, right? To make those things that are wrong right in our lives. And so, listen, if there's no repentance, can there be salvation?
No.
No. And by the way, listen, if there's no repentance, can there be restoration?
No.
No, it can't happen. So listen, if souls aren't being saved, is there a problem? Let me say that again. If souls aren't being saved, is there a problem? Yes, there is a problem. So question, do we have a problem here at Northwood Baptist Church? Yes, we do have a problem, because we need to see people saved. Amen? We need to see people saved. And so in order to, Lord, We have a problem. We can't just go along because our personal lives are okay. Listen, the reason Jesus came and died and rose again was to see people saved. That's the cause, and that's the great commission of the church. And so Lord, listen, there's a problem, not just because, listen, if we're not careful, we live in the greatest nation on planet Earth. Don't we? Why we got chosen to be in this country is beyond me. We could have been in a third world country where they would have thought indoor plumbing was a luxury. There are countries where they don't have indoor plumbing. And yet we have been given so much. And so if we're not careful, we're comfortable and we have need of nothing. We can function, we can get along, we can do. No, listen, Lord, we have a problem. We want revival. Amen. We want to see souls saved. Listen, do you want to be found faithful when the Lord comes back? Don't you can't listen, you can't say, you can't do this. Ready? This will lead us in trouble. I'm pretty good. Oh, God will excuse this and God will excuse that. And I'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not if it's in contrast to the Word of God. Not if it's not lined up with the Word of God. So we have to seek the Lord in prayer and say, and humble ourselves and saying, Lord, we've got a problem. Maybe I don't have any personal problems that I can't deal with, but Lord, you've called us to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to make disciples. Amen. So we've got a problem because we're not seeing disciples being made. And listen, God's got to move each and every one of us to be the light of God in our world that we live in and to spread the gospel out to those people that we come into contact every day or whenever it is that we make contact with people. Amen. To one degree or another, Lord, you need to make us soul conscious. Because when they leave this side of eternity without the Lord, they're forever in hell. And God has called, listen, did we not see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe verse 17, that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That's our job. Amen. He gave it to the church if we're born again. All right. So let's consider this. He says, thy tongue, verse 2, deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. And then notice here in verse 3, that was the tongue. Look at the heart now. Thou lovest evil more than good. Thou lovest evil more than good and lying rather than to speak righteousness. And then he says, Selah. What does Selah mean? Meditate. Think about this. Don't just scan right over it. Is there anything in your life? You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. But if we want God to turn the world upside down in Columbia, Missouri, we've got to seek the Lord in this matter right here and not just say, well, I'm all right. Compared to who? I'm all right. Compared to who? That's it. It can only be to self. But who are we to look to? The Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we doing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we pray? Do we get up early and pray? Isn't that what our Savior did? Did he share the gospel? How are we doing on that? Are we sharing the gospel like he shared it? We're supposed to be like him, aren't we? So see, we need to see, listen, you and I, if we're not careful, we're hiding the talent. We're burying the talent that he's given to us in our salvation. And so we need to be serious about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And not just say, oh, it'll be all right. No, it won't. Unless we see the work of God taking place in our lives, it won't be all right. Did God save us to leave us powerless? So if we can't see the life of Christ in us, is there a problem? Yes. Okay, and that problem will never get resolved if we don't do anything about it. And this is what's important. And I want you to know I am right there with you. God, I don't want to be a powerless Christian. Amen? I want to be able to share the gospel and the Spirit of God work and bring conviction. It's not going to be, listen, and so here's what some people say. Well, I'm just not a good soul winner. Tell me, you know, unless you're a natural at something, tell me what is it that you did that you were good at the first time? It takes practice, doesn't it? It takes work. It takes effort. What if you know, second grade, they teach you how to write cursive. They used to. They don't teach you anymore. Oh, look, I can't write in cursive, so I'm just throwing down the pen. I can't play the musical instrument because I first picked it up and I can't even a stringed instrument, I can't even make a chord, so I quit. I get on the job, I'm not any good at it, so I'll just quit. More than anything you and I would ever endeavor to do would be our pursuit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's worthy of all of our heart, all of our might, all of our soul for His honor and glory. Is He not? Listen, this is the truth. He wants us to get this. We don't come here just to take up space and time. Amen. We come here to worship the Lord and to seek Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Amen. Yes. And so listen, we want to get on board with God. Are we too feeble for God to use us? No. We're not looking for our strength, right? We're looking for His. So He says here, as we consider this, he puts this together and he says in verse 4, notice the heart and tongue. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. We love with our heart, right? So notice it's put together. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. So now we got the heart and the tongue together. So we need to come clean before the Lord. And not, who's the biggest deceived individual? Ourselves. To think that God's okay with what we're doing and what we're allowing. And we've got to, listen, you know, if God is not working in our lives, there's a problem. Now, here's the wonderful thing. When God works in our lives, great things happen. Yeah, great things happen. And so, listen, I want you to know something. This is not a brow-beating session. This is an opportunity for us to say, yes, I need to seek the Lord because He wants to do something in us. Does He not? Amen. Does God want to glorify Himself in and through His church? Yes. That's His promise, is it not? So if it's not happening, we get to say, Lord, fix it, please. Lord, we need to ask Him. So the challenge for all of us is every day, oh God, don't quit. Keep knocking. We need to see souls saved, Lord. We need to, and then take it a step further. Take it a step further, and you and God figure out how to hand out a tract. If you are scared to do that, ask the Lord how to do that. Amen. In public places? My goodness, just set one down where you think somebody will pick it up. Put them in a gas pump handle. Someone's going to grab that gas pump handle, right? You're in a doctor's office, set it down on a table. They don't have too many magazine racks anymore, do they? Everybody's all on their phones. You ever notice that? Everybody's all on their phone. But, you know, you'll be surprised. I'll tell you a little quick story here. I was a little intimidated to hand out a track Tuesday. I said, oh, they're not going to. I'm going through a line. I was getting my car washed. And I said, nope, I'm going to do it anyway. And they were very receptive. It was a young lady there. She gave me my change for the car wash, and I said, let me give you something to read that's important when you get a moment. And she took it. She said, well, thank you. You know, she looked at it. I said, it's an invitation to our church as well, but there's important information. Amen.
Amen.
So notice this. Last thought here. The truth of the special sight given to the righteous. Look at verse 6. He says, the righteous also shall what? So this is a special sight given to the righteous. They're going to see, what are they going to see? Well, they're going to see a particular plant. They're going to see a particular place. And they're going to have a peculiar praise. This is what God is going to do. And the first thing that God wants us to understand is that God's strength is important to overcome the wickedness in this world, the strength of God. So again, notice what it says here. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Those that are walking incorrectly, those who are walking in their own pride, the righteous are going to see it and they're going to say, that's the way I don't want to go. I'm not going to envy those that are walking on the path of destruction. I'm trusting in the Lord, and listen, and I'm walking in His light. Amen? So watch this. Verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. The ones that are failing the Lord, the ones that are walking in their own ungodliness, these are the ones that are not making God his strength. Let's not us be numbered among them. But trusted in the abundance of whose riches? Who, so are we gonna trust the world, or are we gonna trust the riches of God? And strengthened himself in his wickedness. So the people that are ungodly, listen to what they do. They strengthen themselves in their wickedness and not in the righteousness of God. Do you know that you and I can strengthen ourselves in our own wickedness? Do you know that we can lock up and we can put our foot down and we can say, I'm right, and I'm going to keep down this path, and I'm going to wear this path so far that I'm going to put a groove in it and I won't be able to get out of it? That's a scary place to be. That is not humility. So how do we get out of this rut? Well, first of all, we acknowledge the Lord like we did tonight. God wants us to see souls saved, and they're not being saved. So to get out of this rut, I need to call upon the Lord to do something where?
In us.
In our own lives. Lord, wake me up to tell people about the Lord. Not to pat myself on, but that I might be acceptable before the Lord by faith. Trusting, Lord, I can't save one soul. I can't save one soul. I can't talk anybody into salvation, but God can.
Amen.
God can.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. Robert was that fellow that we got to lead to the Lord on the side of the road there. And I kid you not. I didn't expect to get that far with him. As soon as I said, would you like, let me share something with you. And he had his business, right? He did some kind of maintenance repair work, and he was leaving. I didn't know he was leaving. We shared the gospel with him, and then I said, you know, you could get saved today. And I'm going to tell you the truth, all right? In my mind, he's not going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. In my mind, he's going to tell me something, not today. That's what you usually hear. And so I said, look, you could trust him right now. Would you like to do that? And he said, yes. I had to do everything to keep from falling. I go, what? And I was so excited. I said, man, let me. And so we led him to the Lord. And I said, let me give you my number. I was looking for a piece of paper. He opened up his phone. He said, what's your number? Now, he hasn't called me. He made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's more than I've seen in a long time. And I want you to know, I could have never done that in my own. God had to get his attention. I promise you, this young man did not have trusting the Lord on his mind that day he got up.
Amen.
And to be quite honest, we were going out and being faithful, but I did not expect him to be saved. So all the credit goes to the Lord. And all the credit will go to the Lord in your life and mine.
Amen.
If we'll just trust him. Very, very quickly, and we're going to finish. So notice this progression here in verse 8. A particular plant, a particular place, and a peculiar praise. Verse 8. But I am like a green olive. We're not like the ungodly man that was just mentioned here in verse 7 that didn't make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. We're not talking about that man in verse 7, but we're talking about the man that God wants us to be. But I am like a green olive tree. Where am I at?
In the house of God.
In the house of God. In the house of God. And notice this peculiar praise here. In the house of God, I trust. Did you see that? Remember? Knowledge, believing it, and then trusting in it. And notice what he says here. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I want to trust in the mercy of God. And here's the cause of praise. Ready? I will praise thee forever. Why? because thou hast done it. Remember what we were talking? Whatever it is, we got saved, God's done it. If God uses us to tell somebody else about Jesus and they get saved, who's done it?
God.
If we walk upright by the grace of God for the glory of God, who's done it? Do we need the Lord? We'll never make it without him. And by the way, he is worthy of us continually seeking him that he'll perfect his will in our lives. All right? So this is the cause of praise because thou hast done it. And then notice the cause of faith. Notice what he says here. And I will wait on thy name. You know, listen. This is the cause of faith. I will wait on thy name. If you're waiting for somebody, I went to the dentist the other day for a root canal. I sat down in the waiting room. Why did I sit down in the waiting room? Because nothing was going to happen? No, because the dentist was going to, you're next, 3 hours in a chair. We're going to get the root out of your tooth. It was a lot of fun. No, it wasn't. But it needed to be done, and I want you to know I feel a whole lot better. Amen? I do. I'm telling you, the next day he said, you're going to be a little sore. Oh, no, listen. Praise God. Listen, I am so glad, amen, that got taken care of. But here's the whole thing. If I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm expecting to meet with him. Is it not the case? If we're waiting on the Lord for what we need, we're expecting to meet with him. Whatever it might be, can we trust the Lord to do good for us? Even better than a root canal, amen? And listen, I'm glad I had it done. All right, so notice here, ready? And here's the last thought. The cause of joy, ready? For it is good before what? Thy saints. It is good. It is good before thy saints. Put that all together. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, because I trust you, Lord, for it is good before thy saints. Do you think there's anybody in heaven that says, oh, I wasted my time waiting on the Lord? Not a single soul. Do you think you and I will waste our time if we wait on the Lord and call upon him and call upon him and call upon him by faith and continue to call on him for how long? Until he answers. And then call on him some more for the next answer that we need. So tonight, do you want God to bring you into this place where we will forever praise the Lord? The opportunity really is ours that God has given to us. The invitation is the Lord's. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness to each and every one of us, Lord. Each and every redeemed child of God, what all that you have given to us and want to give to us, may we not take that for granted and forget about it and not seek you in it. But Lord, may you give us a heart to seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that you might truly fulfill your will in our lives and that we would truly hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In light of eternity, Lord, you are really all that matters on this side and on eternity when we see you face to face. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.